إن الحمد لله
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session, dealing with the topic of al-iman bil-qadr. And we are reading from the book A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-ta'ifa al-naji al-mansura by Al-Allama Hafiz Ibn Ahmed Ibn Ali Al-Hakami Rahimahullah. This topic, no doubt, is of the most important of topics that we could attempt to understand. Indeed, there are many benefits, and we have mentioned previously in the first session some of the benefits of studying this particular topic, Al-Iman Bil-Qadri Khayrihi Wa Sharrihi. We said that Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen Rahimahullah mentioned that from the benefits of studying this topic is that a person's iman will be complete and perfect. One's iman will not be complete and perfect unless they believe in what is required of a Muslim related to Al-Qadr wal-Qadha. And he also said that from the benefits of iman and qadr al-qadha is that a person will complete and perfect their iman in rububiyyah, in the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the qadr, Allah's pre-decree and then bringing into existence that which He determined or decided, this is from the actions of Allah, and tawheed al-rububiyyah deals with the actions of Allah. Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the Shaykh mentioned a number of other points that indeed are of great importance. From amongst them, that a person would not become proud of their self if they did good, knowing that it's by the decree of Allah. Nor would a person become depressed over a calamity that befalls them when they know that it is by the decree of Allah, to the end of what the Shaykh said. Today, before we read what remains from last week, from the question from last week, question 140. Before we read what remains from that, inshallah, we just want to review quickly the issues that we covered last week. The first of them being question number 39. How many are the maratib, or levels of al-iman bil-qadr? That is, faith in the divine pre-decree. Give a brief explanation of each level. First of all, how many are the levels of al-iman in qadr? Naam? Four. Said that there are four levels. Okay, second part of the question. What are those four levels? Just mention them. What are the four levels? The first of them? Naam. Al-ilm. Al-ilm. Naam. The second of them? Al-kitab. The writing. Naam. The third of them? Al-mashiyah. The mashiyah of Allah. Allah's will that is executed. And the fourth of them? Al-khalq. The creation. As far as the explanation of these matters, what can we say concerning the first of them, al-ilm, knowledge? What do we mean when we say that the first level or degree of al-iman bil-qadr al-qadha is related to al-ilm, knowledge? What do we mean by this? What knowledge? Naam. That what? To have faith in Allah is perfect knowledge. Naam, what else? That His knowledge is eternal. Uh-huh. Naam. Naam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had knowledge of every created being, everything that exists. and its actions before it was brought into existence. Yani it was written in Allah al-Mahfuz. Yani 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth. Anything else? Now. Allah knows their provisions and He wrote it. What would be their provisions and?
Speech.
The speech.
Secrets.
The secrets.
Lifespan.
Their lifespans.
They go to
and where they will end up now. Will they be of those who are wretched, meaning the people who would end up in the punishment of the hellfire, those who are fortunate to end up in the paradise? And so on. Now, as far as the second level. Al-Kitaba. What do we mean by Al-Kitaba? What do we mean by Naam? That everything is written in a book. In Allah al-Mahfuz. Naam. Huh? Naam. Naam, that everything that every created being is going to do, everything that's going to happen to them, everything that's going to take place has been written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth in Allah al-Mahfuz. And everything has been written, it's recorded. And meaning everything that we said about al-ilm, that Allah has perfect knowledge of everything and all of its details, all of that has been written. All of that has been written. And the Shaykh also said that included in this is what has been alluded to in some of the answers. Included in believing in the writing is what? Al-lawh and al-qalam. Yani al-lawh al-mahfuz, believing in the lawh al-mahfuz, that there is a record of everything that has been, yani that Allah knew in His perfect knowledge eternally. That there is a record of it in Allah al-mahfuz, and that it has been recorded by the pen. That Allah created the pen, and He ordered it to write everything that would happen. As far as the third level, al-mashiyah, what do we mean by al-mashiyah? What does this mean, al-mashiyah? Naam. The will, naam, Allah's will. Now, what about Allah's will? Naam. Huh? Nothing escapes, nothing is outside of His will. When Allah wills something, there's no escape from it. Naam.
Everything that Allah will happen, no competition with it.
Naam, everything that Allah wills must happen. There's no doubt about it. There's no escape from it. Naam, it must happen. Naam, what else? And everything that Allah does not will not happen. Naam. That everything that happens in this world is in accordance with or subject to the will of Allah. It's not outside of it. It's what Allah has willed in His irada al-qawniya. And this doesn't mean, yani this irada qawniya, it means the things that Allah has decided that must happen, whether He likes it or not, whether He loves it or not. It may not be something pleasing to Allah, but for due to His perfect wisdom, He has decreed that this must happen. There's a difference between His willing something, He wills something to happen, and His irada qawniya, the universal will. It means that this is something that Allah has decided must happen. But it doesn't mean that this is something that Allah loves or is pleased with. Allah does not love shaitan. Allah is not pleased with shaitan and what he does. But Allah has decreed that shaitan will exist. He created shaitan, He willed it and He created him. And He does what He was created to do. But that doesn't mean that Allah is pleased with it. Okay? So there's a difference between what Allah wills and His irada qawniya, the things that must happen, though it may not be. It may not be. It's not always going to be something that Allah loves or is pleased with. There's a difference between that and al-irada al-shara'iyya, al-diniyya. Yani what Allah wills in His legislation, what He has legislated, what He has made, yani He has required of the people, what He has commanded us with or prohibited us from, then this is from what Allah wills, what's called His irada al-shara'iyya. Yani that which He legislated, that He wants to happen by Him commanding the people with it. But even though all of this in His legislated will, His irada al-shara'iyya, all of it is what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with. But it may not happen. It may or may not happen. Allah loves that the people believe, but some of them will not believe. Allah loves and He has commanded us and He's pleased with us praying. But some people will pray and some people won't pray. So there's a difference between these two. And whoever is not clear on this, now is not the time for it, but whoever is not clear on it, inshallah, look in the notebook in the back, in the any supplements that are in the back, there's a discussion about the difference between the two divisions of Allah's irada, of Allah's mashiyah. That Allah wills some things to happen and they must happen, whether He loves it or is pleased with it or not. And the other things that Allah wills to happen mean He has legislated, that may or may not happen. And these two are two different things. It's important to understand the difference, because perhaps sometimes a person may say, how can you say that Allah willed this to happen? And it's something evil. Person might not understand that. And the Shaykh deals with it in a question that's coming, inshallah, we'll talk about it in detail at that time. I only mention it here because we're talking about the will, and I just want us to start thinking about the difference between these two aspects of Allah's will, what He wills to happen that must happen, and what He wills, legislates, commands the people with, that may or may not happen. It may or may not happen. And the last thing that we mentioned, the fourth level is what? Al-Khalq, the creation. What do we mean by creation? Now, that Allah has created everything. I'm translating for you, right? Translate for yourself. Now, He created everything that exists. Everything that exists, Allah is the creator of it. Naam, and there's no other creator besides Him. There's no two creators, the creator of good and creator of evil. Rather, Allah is the creator of everything. There's no creator besides Him. Each of these points requires some discussion. And if from the comprehensive, summarized essays dealing with this topic, is the essay of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, where he talked about this topic of al-qadr, the khayri, the good of it and the evil of it. And he explained a lot of points. Some of those points we have extracted and placed in the back of the notebook that we distributed in the first class. Some of those points are there, but not all of them. So whoever has access to that book, it is indeed of great benefit. It is indeed of great benefit. Even some of the fruits of believing in Al-Qadr is also mentioned in that essay. In fact, inshallah, if somebody reminds me, it's on the internet. I will send you I will send it to you by email, inshallah. Whoever's email address we have, inshallah, I will send it to you tonight or tomorrow morning. It's incumbent upon you to read it from beginning to the end. And it's not that many pages. Maybe it's, I don't remember, 20 pages or something. You can read it in one sitting. And if you review it and read it again, inshallah, you will continue to benefit every time you read it. In this topic that we are dealing with, this is an essential reading that a person must read, inshallah. If you read it in any of the other books, alhamdulillah, you will benefit. And this will be in addition to what we have already recommended in the supplementary reading list. Yani supplementary book reading, book list. So again, I recommend that you read this. Some of the notes from that essay are in the back of our notebook. Some of it is not there. This is basically, yani, the first question that we dealt with last week. And the second question that we didn't complete last week is question number 140. That is, what is the evidence for al-martaba al-ula, the first level of the levels of faith in al-qadr? What is the first level, which is, I mean, what is the evidence for the first level? And the first level is what? Al-Iman bil-ilm. That is, believing that Allah the Most High has absolute knowledge of everything, even before it happens. And the evidences that the Shaykh offered last, that was from this question, are ayats from the Quran and hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And we only completed the discussion of the ayats. There were about 10 ayats that he mentioned, and we discussed those ayats, and we didn't get to the hadith, and inshallah we'll start with the hadith today after being reminded of what are some of those ayats that the Shaykh mentioned. What are some of the evidences from the Quran for the first level of Iman and Qadr, that is the level of Iman? Naam.
Surah 59, ayah 22.
Naam.
He is Allah other than who him. There is no deity, knower, or of the unseen and the witness. He is the eternally merciful, the especially merciful.
Naam. This ayat is in a group of ayats from the end of this surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of his names, and from amongst them he refers to himself as Alim al-Ghaybi wa shahada. Alim al-Ghaybi wa shahada. The one who has perfect and complete knowledge of that which is unseen and that which is seen. He has complete and perfect knowledge of that which is unseen as well as that which is seen. And this is from the proofs of Allah's complete and perfect knowledge. Another ayah. Naam.
Surah Talaq.
Naam. Which is 65. 65, uh-huh.
Ayah 12.
Naam. And the shahid, or the point from this ayat that we want to mention, is the end of it, right? وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَضَى حَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That indeed,
has full knowledge.
His knowledge, he has encompassed everything in his knowledge. Nothing is outside of it. And this is also a great proof of the complete and perfect knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One other ayat. Naam. Salih. The reference for the ayah. Huh? Saba. So Saba is what number?
34?
Huh?
Surah 34, third ayah.
Naam. And the shahid from this ayah is what? What is the main point of the ayah? That he's the one who knows the unseen, and nothing is hidden from him, nothing escapes from him, not even that which is equal to the weight of an atom, or that which is smaller than it, or greater than it. Yani everything that exists, everything that happens, it is within the knowledge of Allah. Nothing escapes from his knowledge. Naam, he knows everything, the unseen and everything that exists. And the other ayats, the Shaykh gave a lot of ayats, all of them are important, every single one of them important. You know, it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Whoever didn't get those ayats, please try to get them from somebody and go back and read them, because they are of importance. Today, we want to complete the evidences that the Shaykh mentioned concerning the first level of Al-Qadr, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perfect knowledge of everything. And here the Shaykh mentions a few hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of these hadith are going to overlap with other evidences that we'll be taking, that we'll see in what comes. And some of them are narrations that are similar in wording, but may have yani some extra points that are not in others. So each one of them, inshallah, should be examined individually and carefully. First, the Shaykh mentions, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ قَالَ رَجُلٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيُعْرَفُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Yani, a man said, O Messenger of Allah, are the people of Jannah, will they be known? Are they known? أَيُعْرَف, are the people of Jannah known? Yani, from the people of the hellfire, is it known who are the people of Jannah and who are the people of the hellfire? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Na'am, yes, the people of the paradise are known and distinguished from the people of the hellfire. The man said, فَلِمَا يَعْمَلُ الْعَامِلُونَ. So why do the people who do good deeds, yani why are the people working? What are they working for? If it is already known, it's established who will be in the paradise and who will be in the hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ said, قَالَ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ أَوْ لِمَا يُسِّرَ لَهُ. Yani that everyone will act, will do the deeds that are in accordance with what he has been created for. Yani his destination is known, there's no doubt about it. But everyone must do the deeds that are in accordance with what he has been created for. Or لِمَا يُسِّرَ لَهُ, or that which has been made easy for him. Yani, the people of paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that they would be in the paradise, and he has made it easy for them to do the deeds of the people of paradise, but they must do it. It's not that this has already been decreed, and is known to Allah, and it will not be changed, and therefore don't do anything. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Everyone must do the deeds that will lead to him being in that place that he has been created for. This hadith is reported in Bukhari, in the book of Qadr, and Muslim also in the book of Qadr, and Abu Dawud in the book of Sunnah, and Ibn Majah, and Ahmed, and others. Naam. And it is said concerning this first statement, which is of critical importance. And this is one of the issues that people misunderstand concerning the Qadr, and it is a shubha that caused some people to go astray, to become confused, and then not to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man said, أَيُعْرَفُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ Yani, are the people of the paradise known, distinct from the people of the hellfire? In some of the narrations, it said, Yani, Hammad ibn Zayd ibn Yazid said, in a narration from Muslim, said, أَعُلِمَ Yani, which has a similar meaning. أَيُعْرَفُ أَعُلِمَ Yani, is it known? Is there knowledge of who will be in the paradise and who will be in the hellfire? What is intended by this question is ma'rifatul al-mala'ika wa man aqala'ahu Allah ala dhalika. Yani, is it known to the angels? Is it something that's known to the angels? Or is it known to people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them knowledge of this? Rather, it is not known to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not known to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The questioner said, when the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, it is known. Yani, it is known to Allah. Because this is a proof of what? Of Allah's perfect knowledge. He knows everything. He knows every created being and its sustenance and its actions and its speech. And what will be its destination? If it will be from the people of the paradise or the people of the hellfire. The questioner said, فَلِمَا يَعْمَلُ الْعَامِلُونَ So why should the people be working? Why should they be exerting themselves? Why should they be struggling and striving to do something that has already been decided? That it's already guaranteed that they're going to be in the paradise. وَلِمَا يَعْمَلُوا أَوْ فِيمَا And some of the narrations said, in the narration of Hammad said, فَفِيمَا Yani, in what? Yani, what action should they be doing? This is a question, and the meaning of this question is, إِذَا سَبَقَ الْقَلَمُ بِذَلِكَ فَلَا يَحْتَاجُ الْعَامِلُ إِلَى الْعَمَلِ لِأَنَّهُ سَيَصِيرُ إِلَى مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ Yani, the meaning of this question, the questioner is asking, the confusion about this matter, the person who doesn't understand the Qadr, if the pen has already written this, yani, that this person will be in the paradise or the hellfire, then the one who is working doesn't have any need to do those actions, since it is inevitable that he will go on and do that which has been decreed for him. It's inevitable that he would do it, so why does he have to exert himself in doing something? He is destined for Yani, that which has been decreed for him. And the Prophet ﷺ answered to this, كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ أَوْ لِمَا يُيَسَّرُ لَهُ And in some of the narrations, يُسِّرَ لَهُ And the meaning is the same. Yani, that every person will do the deeds that lead towards that which he has been created for or that which has been made easy for him to do. And in one of the narrations, it also says, كُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ That every person will be one who it has been made easy for him. He will be the one who it has been made easy for him to do that which he has been created for. And this hadith is an indication إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمَآلَ مَحْجُوبٌ عَنَ الْمُكَلَّفِ فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَجْتَحِدَ فِي عَمَلِ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ And this hadith is an indication that the end, the final destination, is mahjoob. Yani, it is screened. It is hidden from the person who is responsible to do deeds. Yani, the person who is in the position where they're required to do whatever Allah has commanded. This, their final destination, is not known to them. Therefore, it is obligatory on that person, and yajtahida fi amali ma umira bihi. It is obligatory for every person then to strive to do the deeds that he has been commanded with. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do certain acts of obedience, to make salat, to give zakat, to fast, and to do other deeds of obedience. Even though it has already been written that somebody is going to be in the paradise, it's incumbent upon them to do that which they have been commanded with. Allah has commanded us to do these things. You have to do it. There's no escape from it. And Allah already knows who is going to obey His commands and who is not. That's in His perfect knowledge. He already knows who's going to obey. And therefore, he has decreed, yani, meaning he has written, that this person will be of the people of paradise or otherwise. Indeed, the person's actions are an indication, a sign of where he will end up. Ghaliban, most of the time. A person's deeds are an indication or sign of what will be their final end. And if you see a person doing good deeds all the time, that's a sign that this person is headed for the paradise. If you see a person doing evil deeds, that's a sign. Ghaliban, yani generally, most of the time, that is a sign that this person is headed for that which is in agreement with what his actions indicate. Even though, sometimes, a person's end will be sealed with other than that. Yani with other than what you see them doing most of the time. Meaning that before they leave this world, they will begin to do deeds other than that, which will cause them to end in other than the place that their previous deeds suggested that they would be in. And this has been confirmed in the hadith of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and other than him. Yani, that some people would end up in other than the place that you would think they're going to be, based on what you see them doing most of the time. However, in spite of this fact, that it's not absolute that a person's doing good deeds, it's not absolute that that's a sign that he's going to be in the paradise. Not absolutely in every case, but generally that is the case. What is important though, is that no one knows what will be their destination. The person who is doing these good deeds doesn't really know what will be the end. Therefore, فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَبْذُلَ جُهْدَهُ وَيُجَاهِدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي عَمَلِ الطَّاعَةِ. Therefore, it is يعني, incumbent for the person to exert themselves and to make effort and to strive against their nafs. Strive against their nafs. يعني, which doesn't want to submit and comply with what Allah has commanded and prohibited. But a person must make an effort and they must strive against their nafs to do the deeds of obedience to Allah. Because you don't know really what has been decreed for you. And don't abandon those deeds depending, yani, on the fact that it has already been decreed where you will end up. And then in that case, if a person abandons doing good deeds, then they will be blamed. They will be blameworthy because they have abandoned the things that they have been commanded with, in which case they would deserve to be punished. In which case they would deserve to be punished. Yani the point of this hadith is that it is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are the people of paradise and who are the people of the hellfire. But that doesn't mean that people shouldn't do deeds because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani the people that have been decreed to be in the paradise, He will make it easy for them to do those deeds, but they must do them. We are obligated to obey the commands of Allah and to avoid His prohibitions. The second hadith that the Shaykh mentions, also reported in Bukhari and Muslim, and Nasa'i and Abu Dawud and others, in which he said, Su'ila al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an awlad al-mushrikeen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the children of the mushrikeen. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا كَانُوا عَامِلِينَ. Allah is the best knower. Yani He is the one who has perfect knowledge. The superlative form of knowledge. There's nothing beyond it. Of what actions they would be doing. Yani meaning the children of the mushrikeen who died as children. They didn't reach adulthood. They didn't reach the age of responsibility. So what about them? What would be their condition, they asked. What would be the condition of the children, the awlad of the mushrikeen? And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, Allahu a'lamu bima kanu a'malin. Allah knows best what they would have been doing. What would be their actions? This hadith has a lengthy explanation. I just want to mention from it just something brief. And that is, that the final destination of the children of the mushrikeen, there are many opinions. There are many opinions concerning what would be their final destination. The Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions concerning this hadith, 10 opinions. And he mentioned a lengthy discussion concerning each opinion, which we don't have the time to discuss, but he says that there's difference amongst the ulama. اختلف العلماء قديما وحديثا في هذه المسألة على أقوال. And the scholars of the past and the present have differed concerning this issue, and they have different sayings. The first of them is that وَأَنَّهُمْ فِي مَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, يعني that they would, their end will be according to whatever Allah has willed. According to whatever Allah has willed. The second opinion, that they would follow their parents, yani whatever will be the condition of their parents, that will be their condition. The third opinion is that أَنَّهُمْ يَكُونُونَ فِي بَرْزَخْ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ, yani that they will be in a place or in a position between the paradise and the hellfire, since they didn't do good deeds to earn the paradise, nor did they do evil deeds to justify the hellfire, they will be in between. The fourth opinion is that they will be the servants of the people of Jannah. The fifth opinion is that they would be turned into dust. Yani they wouldn't be judged. The sixth opinion, that they would be in the hellfire. The seventh opinion, that they will be tested in the next life. And they will be given a test, and then according to how they responded to the test, that would determine their position. The eighth position, that they will be in the Jannah. That they will be in the Jannah. The ninth opinion is that al-waqf, yani not taking a stand on this one way or another. And the tenth position, al-imsaq, yani holding back from saying anything about it. And al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says, وَفِي فَرْقْ بَيْنَهُمَا دِقَّةً, yani the difference between al-waqf and al-imsaq is a fine point. And they are pretty much the same, but he said there's a fine point of difference between them. These are two opinions. And we want to say that the correct opinion, Allah knows best, and it's the opinion of the majority of the scholars of the Sunnah, is that the children of the mushrikeen will be in the paradise. And we'll discuss this in detail, inshallah. And in this hadith is an indication that Allah knows what would be the end of every created being, yani after He brought them into existence upon the fitrah, He knows what will be their condition after that. And this is an indication of Allah's previous knowledge, which was rejected and denied by the extremists of the Qadariyya. And there's some discussion about this, but yani for now it will suffice us to say that this hadith is an indication of what? Regardless of the difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning this, this hadith is a proof that Allah knows for sure. He knows, yani, what they would have done, what would be their actions if they had lived longer and they reached the age of responsibility and accountability and so on. The third hadith that the Shaykh mentions, في Muslim, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله خلق للجنة أهلا خلقهم لها وهم في أصلاب آبائهم وخلق للنار أهلا خَلَقَهُمْ لَهَا وَهُمْ فِي أَسْلَابِ آبَائِهِمْ, yani that the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, Allah has created for the Jannah a people. And He created them for the Jannah, yani decreed that they would be in the Jannah while they were in the loins of their fathers. And Allah has created a people for the hellfire. And He created them for it, yani for the hellfire while they were still in the loins of their fathers, yani before they came into existence, before they came into this world. Yani some people were created for the paradise and some people were created for the hellfire. This hadith in Sahih Muslim, it mentions in the beginning of the hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha, تُوفِيَ صَبِيٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ فَقَالَتْ تُوبَ لَهُ أُسْفُورٌ مِنْ أَصَافِرِ الْجَنَّةِ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءَ وَلَمْ يُدْرِكْهُ يعني سوء قال أو غير ذلك يا عائشة, يعني عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said that يعني a young child from amongst the Ansar had passed away, and she said توبة له, يعني may he receive the good news, يعني or maybe توبة means a tree in Jannah for this أسفور small bird from amongst the small birds, يعني he was a child from amongst the small birds of the Jannah. Yani she was saying that this child, he will be in the Jannah. He didn't do any evil, nor did evil reach him. And the Prophet ﷺ said to her, أو غير ذلك, أو غير ذلك, يا عائشة. Or maybe it is other than that. Yani maybe he will not be in the Jannah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ لِلْجَنَّةِ أَهْلًا خَلَقَهُمْ لَهَا وَهُمْ فِي أَسْلَابِ أَبَائِهِمْ. To the end of the hadith, and he said to her, maybe he will not be in the Jannah. Perhaps, maybe it will be other than that. For indeed, Allah has created for the Jannah a people, and He created them for the Jannah while they were still in the loins of their fathers, and He created for the hellfire people, and He created them for the hellfire while they were still in the loins of their fathers. And this hadith on the surface seems to suggest that the Prophet ﷺ is questioning the certainty with which Aisha radiallahu anha guaranteed that this small boy would be in the paradise. And again, this issue is a little bit different, and it's a finer point from the issue of what was discussed in the last hadith, because this hadith is about what? It's not about the children of the mushrikeen. It's about a child from the Muslims. An-Nawawi says, أَجْمَعَ مَنْ يُؤَتَّدُّ بِهِ مِنْ عُلَمَاءَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْ أَطْفَالَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مُكَلَّفًا. Yani he says that there is ijma', consensus, amongst the scholars of the Muslims whose opinion is considered. يُعَتَدَّ, meaning those who, we consider what they said. There are others maybe, we don't consider what they say. Their opinion doesn't have any weight, so we don't even think about them. But as far as the scholars whose opinion should be given weight, then there's ijma', that whoever dies from amongst the children of the Muslims, that he will be from the people of Jannah, because he hasn't reached the age of responsibility. وَتَوَقَّفَ فِيهِ بَعْدُ مَنْ لَا يُعْتَدُّ بِهِ لِحَدِيثِ عَيْشَ هَذَا. But this ijma', that the children of the Muslims will be in the paradise, some scholars held back from taking a position amongst this. But who, those scholars from amongst those whose opinion is not really considered, due to this hadith of Aisha. Due to this hadith, some scholars held back from taking a correct opinion concerning this. وَجَابَ الْعُلَمَاء بِأَنَّهُ لَعَلَّهُ نَهَاهَا عَنَ الْمُسَارِعَ إِلَى الْقَطْعِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَكُونُ عِنْدَهَا دَلِيلْ قَاطِعِ كما أنكر على سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه في قوله أعتيه إني لأراه مؤمنا قال أو مسلما. The hadith. يعني the Shaykh al-Nawawi, Imam al-Nawawi, he's saying here that the scholars answered those who questioned whether or not the Muslim children will be in the paradise. They answered them by saying that perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited her from making a definitive statement concerning this, from being hasty and making a definitive statement concerning this, because she didn't have any dalil qati'a, an absolute dalil that boy is going to be in the paradise. In the same way that he rebuked Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu in his saying, a'atihi, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was distributing the spoils of war on some occasion, and he said, and Sa'd said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a'atihi, give him, فَإِنِّي لَأَرَاهُ مُؤْمِنًا, because I consider him to be a mu'min. And the Prophet ﷺ said similar to that, he said, أَوْ مُسْلِمًا. Don't say mu'min, but say Muslim. Don't be so definitive in this, that he's a mu'min, because that iman is in the heart. But he's a Muslim, now. Okay, you can say that. So here, he's saying that perhaps the Prophet ﷺ, in the same way that he rebuked Sa'd for being hasty and saying somebody is a mu'min, instead of just saying they're Muslim, then perhaps the same was what he intended to Aisha radiallahu anha. And it is also possible, he said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this before he came to know that the children of the Muslims would be in Jannah. That this statement was before he knew definitively that all the children of the Muslims would be in the Jannah. So when he came to know that, then he said that which makes it clear, as in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَمُوتُ لَهُ ثَلَاثَةٌ مِنَ الْوَلَدِ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحَنْثَ إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ بِفَضْلِ رَحْمَتِهِ إِيَّاهُمْ. And other than that from the hadith, and if the Prophet ﷺ said that there is no Muslim who has three children that died, in their childhood, they didn't reach the age of responsibility, except every Muslim in that condition, he will be admitted into the Jannah by the mercy, the favor of Allah and His mercy towards those children. And the scholars, Al-Imam Nawawi says that it's not possible that the parent will enter the Jannah because of Allah's mercy upon the child, a child that's not going to be in Jannah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give His favor and be merciful upon the parent because his children died when they were young, and the parent is going to enter Jannah because of his mercy to the children, how is it that the children how is that mercy is not going to reach the children? Who are the cause of the mercy reaching the parent? Anyway, it's an argument that, if you think about it, it's pretty clear. In any case, he says that, as far as the Muslim children, then for sure, they will be in the Jannah. And the difference is only in reference to the children of the mushrikeen. And then he mentions some other points, but what is important is that this is the saying of the jamhur of the scholars, that the children of the Muslims will be in the paradise. The fourth hadith that the Shaykh mentions is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ رَجُلْ لَيَعْلَمُ عَمَلْ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَعْمَلْ عَمَلَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فِي مَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. This hadith is also reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others. And this hadith has a lengthy, very, very extremely lengthy discussion. But some of the points that are made that bring out the benefit of this hadith is that in some narrations of this hadith that are well known, it is mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, in reference to everything that has been pre-decreed and has already been decided, and from the things that have been decided, that a person will be from the people of paradise or the people of hellfire. And that a person would, there will be some people who would do the deeds of the people of paradise until they are an arm's length from the paradise, and that which has been written, the divine decree, will overcome them, and they will begin doing the deeds of the people of hellfire and into the hellfire. And some people would do the deeds of the people of hellfire, all of their life, until there's only an arm's length between them and entering the hellfire, and then that which has been decreed, that which has been written, would overcome them, and they would begin doing the deeds of the people of paradise and into the paradise. And this hadith is a clarification of that hadith. How is it that a person could be doing the deeds of the people of paradise their whole life, and then when they are an arm's length from the entering the paradise, that which Allah decreed will overcome them, and they will start doing the deeds of the people of hellfire and into hellfire, after doing the deeds of the people of paradise their whole life? That is something that may cause a person to have some question. How is that? Why is that? Why would a person... why would Allah decree that a person enter the hellfire after they spent their whole life doing the deeds of the people of paradise? And this hadith is a clarification, that a person would do the deeds of the people of paradise, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ, meaning they will be doing the deeds of the people of paradise in that which appears to the people. What the people see is that they're doing the deeds of the people of paradise. But what Allah knows, what's inside, is something different altogether. Huh? فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ, that which is apparent to the people. So this question that came in the first, in the hadith that doesn't mention that they would do the deeds of the people of paradise in according to what the people see anyway, it would appear to them like that. He said that that there are people who would do the deeds of the people of paradise that this would be in reference to the people who would do the deeds of the people of paradise, but they would not do it with ikhlas and iman. They would be doing the outward actions of the people of paradise, but the ikhlas, the sincerity and the iman would not be present. But rather they would just be doing the deeds of the people of paradise. The outward form would be the deeds of the people of paradise. That's what would appear to the people. But what is in the heart, the sincerity and the iman would be absent. As far as the people who do the deeds of the people of paradise, haqiqatan, in reality, ikhlasan wa imanan, with sincerity and with iman, then Allah is more just and more honorable and more merciful than to enter this person in the end of their life into the hellfire. Rather, these are the people who are entitled to a tawfiq and a tasdeed and a tathbeet. Yani that these are the people that Allah would give success to. A person who has done the deeds of the people of paradise sincerely based on iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their whole life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them success to complete their life upon goodness. He will give them tasdeed, He will make them correct, and tathbeet, He will make them firm. He will make them firm. And this is what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Allahumma muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Yani we ask Allah, the one who controls the hearts, to make our hearts firm on His deen, and to make our hearts firm on obedience to Him. Yani that He do not lead us astray. لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا. Do not lead us astray after You have guided us. And the people who do the deeds of the people of Jannah, haqiqatan, in reality with ikhlas and iman, then Allah will give them tawfiq. He will make them correct and He will make them firm. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Ibrahim. Surah Ibrahim is 14th surah, I think. 14:27. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. And this ayah requires some discussion, which we will not, you know, enter into today. But the meaning of it is that Allah will make firm those who believe. Allah will make them firm بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ, with the firm word, يعني of لا إله إلا الله في حياة الدنيا, في الحياة الدنيا, in this world, and in the akhirah, meaning when they are questioned in the grave. وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ, and Allah will lead astray who? The ظالمين, the wrongdoers. وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ, and Allah does whatever He wills, and Allah is not questioned in whatever He does. And other ayats like this that he mentions here. Naam. And also, yani there's more discussion, but the important thing in this hadith is also a proof of what? That Allah is the one who has perfect knowledge. The people's deeds that are seen, yani people's knowledge is based on what they see, but Allah's knowledge is based on the reality. Allah has perfect knowledge of everything, that which is seen and that which is not seen. And the fifth hadith the Shaykh mentions from last week, the last hadith that we mentioned from last week, is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ عُلِمَ مَنْزِلُهَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ قَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَلِمَا نَعْمَلُوا أَفَلَا نَتَّقِلُوا. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, in this hadith, which is also reported by Bukhari and Muslim and Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud and others, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ, there is no person, there is no soul, person from amongst you, إِلَّا وَقَدْ عُلِمَ مَنْزِلَهُ وَمَنْزِلُهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ, except that his station or his place in the paradise and the hellfire is known. Yani known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no person except his place, his destination in the paradise and in the hellfire is already known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَلِمَا نَعْمَلُوا. They said, O Messenger of Allah, so why should we act? Why should we strive and struggle in doing these deeds? أَفَلَا نَتَّقِلُوا. Should we not just rely upon the fact that our station in the next life in paradise or hellfire is already known? It's already decreed, it's written, it's known to Allah, it's fixed. Should we not just rely upon this? قَالَ لَا اِعْمَلُوا. No, rather you should act. فَقُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. For every person it will be made easy for him, that which he has been created for. Yani the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith said, La, don't rely upon what has been written. Because that's only known to Allah. You don't know what has been written for you. So it's incumbent upon you to act. اعملوا, therefore you must act. And every person will find it has been made easy for them to do that which they have been created for. And then the Prophet ﷺ read, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى يعني إِلَى قَوْلِي فَيُيَسِّرُ فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Yani as far as the one who gives in the way of Allah, عَطَى وَاتَّقَى, and observes taqwa and the commands of Allah and His prohibitions, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى and testifies to the truthfulness of al-husna, al-jannah, then Allah will make easy for him the doing of good deeds. And likewise, يعني whoever, يعني أَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. And whoever holds back, is stingy, and considers themselves self-sufficient, independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without need, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى and denied the Jannah, then it will be made easy for them, al-usra, yani the difficulty, yani the evil end, yani the hellfire. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions these ayat from Surah Al-Layl, the 5th ayat to the 10th ayat. He mentions this as a proof that people must give, they must observe taqwa, they must testify to the truth, they must do something, and then Allah will make easy for them, yani that which they have been created for. These ayats are proof of that, that people must act, you must obey Allah, you must avoid His prohibitions, you must believe in Allah, you must testify to the truth. It's not sufficient that it's already guaranteed that you'll be in the paradise or the hellfire, rather the Prophet ﷺ said, act, act, act. And yani, what you have been created for will be made easy for you. But you must give in the way of Allah. You must observe taqwa of Allah. You must testify to the truth and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a reward for those who are obedient, yani in Jannah. And this hadith also has yani some points of explanation. And I'll just read a couple of points, yani from amongst them, the saying, in the explanation of Bukhari, Al-Qastalani, rahimahullah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, afala nattaqil, yani shall we not just rely on what has been written, yani on the book, and avoid, yani leave off, abandon doing good deeds? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's answer to that is, no, you must act, and every person it will be made easy for them, yani, that which they have been created for. And then he mentioned, he read these ayahs from the Quran, showing that some people, it will be made easy for them to enter the Jannah. Yani, that which they need to do in order to enter the Jannah will be made easy for them, and for other people, yani, that which will lead to the hellfire will be made easy for them. Yani, when a person turns away from the guidance of Allah and fails to submit and surrender to the command of Allah, then Allah will make easy for them that which they turn themselves to. And all of this is related to yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything, even before it happens, and nonetheless, He has required of us to obey His commands and avoid His prohibitions. Allahumma musta'an. We have a few minutes left before the adhan, maybe 15 minutes. So I'm going to start the next question, which is question number 141. ما دليل المرتبة الثانية وهي الإيمان بكتابة المقادير. يعني what is the evidence for the second level of the levels of Iman in Qadr, which is al-Iman, having faith in كتابة المقادير. يعني believing that everything that has been pre-decreed to happen in this world is written. That everything that has been pre-decreed to happen in this world is written even before it happens. Yani the writing of everything. And we said previously that the writing is based upon the knowledge. Yani what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written of everything that will happen, it is based upon what He knows. Yani His knowledge of everything that will happen, and He had it written. And we believe that everything that Allah has decreed that He will execute and that will occur and take place, that all of it has been written. This is Al-Kitaba, the second level of Al-Iman Bil-Qadr, Khayrihi wa Sharrihi. And again, these two levels are connected to one another. Al-Ilm wal-Kitaba. The Shaykh mentions four ayat And one hadith, yani part of it is in Bukhari, and in Muslim it is narrated, part of it in one place and the whole of it is in another place. So you might see it as two hadith, but in certain places he has narrated the whole of it in one place. The first ayat that the Shaykh mentions concerning this, that we are talking about al-kitab, the recording of everything, is in Surah Yasin, 36 surah, 12th ayat. قال الله تعالى, the Shaykh says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. And everything, we have recorded it, yani enumerated it, counted it in detail, fi imamin mubin, in a clear record. Yani imamun, meaning here, kitabun mubin. And this statement is in reference to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that indeed we have given life to the dead. Or, you know, we give life to the dead. And we record what they have sent ahead and the traces that they left behind. And everything, we have recorded it, enumerated it in a clear record. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayat, he says the saying, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ, meaning, جَمِيعَ الْكَائِنَاتِ مَكْتُوبٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٌ مَضْبُوطٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. That everything, all of the kainat, everything that exists, everything that exists and its actions and characteristics and everything about it is maktub, is recorded fi kitabin masturun madbutin, in a book that is written, it is written out, lined, precise, exact, in the lawh mahfuz, the preserved tablet. And this ayat is a clear proof that everything has been enumerated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi imam mubin, yani fi kitab mubin, in a clear book that is in precise, exact details in the lawh al-mahfuz. He says, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, wal imam mubin ha huna huwa umul kitab. That what is meant by fi imam mubin, it means here in this ayat, it means umul kitab, yani the mother of the book, meaning lawh al-mahfuz. And then Ibn Kathir mentions that this is the saying of Mujahid and Qatada and Abd al-Rahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam and others. And this is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, 71st. I think Isra is 17th surah. Huh? Now, this is like the saying, yani imam al-mubin, yani meaning Kitab al-Mubin, is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. The day we will call every people with to their imam, meaning kitab amalihim. Yani imam here, the imam means the book of their deeds. الشَّاهِدْ عَلَيْهِمْ, that will witness against them. بِمَا عَمِلُوهُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ وَشَرٍ. Yani the book of their deeds that will be a witness against them upon what everything that they have done of good or evil. And the Shaykh mentions, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions other ayats from the Quran that support this meaning, that imam here means kitab. And is that everything is recorded in a clear book. Every detail precisely has been pre-recorded. It's in the knowledge of Allah and Allah has had it written. Yarhamukallah. The second ayat that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentions is from Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 70th Ayat. قال الله تعالى, إن ذلك في كتاب. Indeed, that is in a book. Yani this is from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Do you not know that Allah knows whatever is in the heaven and the earth? Indeed, that is in a book. Indeed, that is easy for Allah. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says, here Allah the Most High is informing us, عن كمال علمه, عن كمال علمه بخلقه. Allah in this ayat, in saying, إن ذلك في كتاب, everything that's in the heavens and the earth is in a book and it's easy for Allah. Here He is telling us about the perfection of His knowledge of His creation. His perfect knowledge of His creation. وَأَنَّهُ مُحَيِّطْ بِمَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and that He encompasses everything that is in the heavens and the earth. فلا يعزب عنه مثقال ذرة في الأرض ولا في السماء ولا أسكر من ذلك ولا أكبر، وأنه تعالى علم الكائنات كلها قبل وجودها وكتب ذلك في كتابه اللوح المحفوظ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is nothing, even that which is the weight of an atom in the earth or in the heaven, that escapes from Him, whether it is smaller than that or greater than that, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that exists, all of it, before it came into existence, before He brought it into existence, and that He has written that in His book, Allawh al-Mahfuz. And this ayah, again, is a proof of what? Of Allah's recording of everything that is recorded in His book, Allawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, everything in the heavens and the earth. And here, Naam? Yeah, this is from Surah Al-Hajj. Yani the original ayah that he mentioned from Surah Al-Hajj, 22:70. Surah 22, ayah 70. And here, Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentions as a proof of this meaning that which has been confirmed in the Sahih of Muslim from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ مَقَادِرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. That indeed Allah قَدَّرَ مَقَادِرَ الْخَلَائِقِ, that Allah has decreed, pre-decreed everything that will take place in reference to the creatures, every creature, before He created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. Yani 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth, He had already pre-decreed what will occur for every creature. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And at that time, when He pre-decreed all of this, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth, His arsh, the arsh of Allah, was upon the water. This is the wording that came in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, إِنَّ اللَّهِ قَدْرَ مَقَادِرُ الْخَلَائِقِ. And actually in Sahih Muslim, the wording of it is, كَتَبَ اللَّهِ مَقَادِرُ الْخَلَائِقِ, that Allah wrote, and He recorded, and the meaning is the same, everything that would occur to all of the creatures in the heavens and the earth. And then he mentions from the Sunan, yani Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that's narrated from a number of companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that he said, أول ما خلق الله القلم, yani أول ما خلق الله القلم, when Allah first created the pen, قال له, He said to it, اكتب, write. قال وما اكتب, it said, what shall I write? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اكتب ما هو كائن, فجرى القلم بما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. He said, write everything that is going to take place in the pen, wrote everything that will take place up until يوم القيامة. And then he mentions some other narrations, some other reports, and in the end of it he says, this is from the perfection of the knowledge of Allah the Most High. Yani this knowledge, that everything that's recorded in a book, that He had the pen to write before He created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years, this is an indication of the perfection, the completion of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He knows everything before it exists. And He pre-decreed it, and He wrote it also. So whatever the creatures do, Allah already knew it before that, yani before they do it. And He knew it, عَلَى الْوَجْءَ الَّذِي يَفْعَلُونَهُ. He knew exactly how they would be doing it. فَيَعْلَمُ قَبْلَ الْخَلْقِ أَنَّ هَذَا يُطِيعُ بِإِخْتِيَارِهِ وَهَذَا يَعْصِي بِإِخْتِيَارِهِ وَكَتِبَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَهُ وَحَاطِ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا وَهُوَ سَهْلَ عَلَيْهِ يَسِيرٌ لَدَيْهِ. ولهذا قال تعالى إن ذلك في كتاب إن ذلك على الله يسير. يعني حافظ ابن كثير says, this is from the perfection of Allah's knowledge, that He already knew everything before it would happen, and He decreed it, and He wrote it, and the creatures, the human beings or otherwise, will, what they do is what Allah already knew before they did it, and He knew how they would do it exactly, and He knew it before He created the creation. He knew that this particular one would be obedient to Him, بِإِخْتِيَارِهِ, by choice, not by compulsion. And this is one of the shubahat or the doubtful matters, confusion in the minds of the people. People think that qadr, it means predestination, yani according to the understanding of kuffar, that Allah has pre-decreed this and the person is forced to do it. And here Ibn Kathir says that Allah knew that this person will be obedient to him bi ikhtiyarihi, that he will be obedient by choice, willingly, not because he's compelled to be obedient. And he knew that this one would disobey bi ikhtiyarihi, that the one who is disobedient is by choice. He is choosing to disobey, and therefore he is responsible for his disobedience. And he wrote that with himself, and he encompasses everything in his knowledge, and this is easy for him. Sahlun alayhi yasirun ladayhi. This is something that's simple and easy for Allah, and that's why he said in this ayat, inna dhalika fi kitab. All of this is in a book recorded. Inna dhalika ala Allah yasir. And this is easy for Allah. Yani to know this and to record every bit of it in complete detail. And the Shaykh, he mentions two more ayats, but you know, I feel a little overwhelmed. There are only a few minutes remaining, and I don't want to speed. Even though, you know, it is hoped that we could finish more, but قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. And the time is upon us. So, inshallah, the next time we meet, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we'll take the last two ayats and the hadith that the Shaykh mentions. And in our next session, perhaps we could take the few minutes that are remaining in case there is any question about what we have discussed today, about the matters that we have discussed, if there's any question concerning this. Or any comment? Any need for clarification now? You got to speak up a little bit. My hearing is a little bit daif.
When you suffer, supplicate,
uh-huh.
Different ways that it may affect you.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith that he said to his companions that if you supplicate to Allah, Allah would definitely answer you. في إحدى ثلاثة. يعني in one of three ways. Allah will definitely answer you in one of three ways. Either He will hasten in answering, giving you that which you have asked for, or He will turn away from you some calamity, some evil that was destined to befall you, that's equal to what you are asking for, or He will store it up for you as a reward in the next life. So that when a person supplicates to Allah, it's possible that one of the ways that Allah may answer is that some calamity that was written to befall them may be turned away from them as a result of their supplication. But of course, all of this is in the perfect eternal knowledge of Allah. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that a person was going to supplicate to Him, and that in response to that supplication, He was going to turn away from them some harm. All of that is already known to Allah. It's not as though Allah knew that the calamity was going to befall them, and He didn't know the person was going to supplicate, and that as a result of that, He would turn it away. Rather, Allah knew all of that. Naam. Naam. Sa'id. Or Abu Sa'id. Uh-huh. Naam. Yeah, we said that the hadith mentions two sides, right? The people who would do the deeds of the people of paradise until they would be near to entering it, arm's length, and then that which is decreed would overcome them, and they would do the deeds of the people of hellfire and enter the hellfire. And likewise the opposite, that a person may do the deeds of the people of the hellfire until they are arm's length from the hellfire, and that which was decreed would overcome them, and they would begin doing the deeds of the people of paradise and into the paradise. This hadith is applicable to both of them, that people would do the deeds of the people of paradise in that which appears to the people. But Allah knows that there's the absence of sincerity or the absence of iman, hypocrisy or whatever it may be, that's not seen by the people. And likewise, a person might be doing the deeds of the people of hellfire, in what appears to the people. And that's why some people see a person doing evil and they say he's going to hell. But rather, we don't know who's going to hell, and this is from the aqidah of Islam, that we don't declare any person who's alive in this world that they are going to the hellfire or paradise. Allah only knows. Rather, a person might be doing what appears to be the deeds that guarantees they're going to be in the hellfire, and then when they are arm's length from the hellfire, that which Allah has decreed. Yani what their deeds appear to the people as though it's going to take them to the hellfire, and then that which Allah has decreed. Allah knowing the reality of that person. Yani there are people who do outwardly evil deeds, and they might have sincerity in their heart and belief in Allah, and Allah will bring that out of them, because Allah knows that this person has khair in them, and He will bring it out of them before the matter is finished. And then that which Allah has written and that which Allah knows will become manifest. Is that there? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.